Hey guys, it's April. We're going to start this podcast off a little bit differently. We have some awesome voice messages from our listeners and followers, and we're going to start sharing them throughout the episode. But today, we're going to start off with a shout out. Thank you so much for supporting what we're doing here at East to West WLS. You are the best part of this community.
Hey, April. Hey, Jason. East to West WLS. This is Michelle. Instagram handle at walking inward, walking underscore inward. And my dog's barking in the background. I just wanted to say that I've really been enjoying the podcast lately, not only on YouTube, but also my podcast app. And I'm just, my mind is being blown. Like I'm taking notes. I'm just really appreciative of what you guys are putting out there. And I just listened to the one with Mabel at, I think it's Our Sleeve Academy. And then also, I think it's Jana Wolf. Oh, and I'm just so grateful. And I can't wait to hear more. And this is just, you know, I'm post-op now, about 12 days. And I'm just got to put in the work. So here I am. Thank you so much.
Hello and welcome to East to West WLS, the podcast where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April and I'm the West.
And I'm Jason and I'm the East.
Today, you know, this is going to be straight fire because we're welcoming back the one and only Katie. Hi, friend. Oh my God. Okay. Your journey has been amazing. We love hearing how you are adjusting to life after weight loss surgery. We had the amazing opportunity to interview you before surgery, and then we got to interview you, I think it was like, was it a week or two after your procedure?
I think it ended up being almost a month.
It was a month, yeah.
Our schedules were just, we wanted to get together sooner, but I think it was like 3 to 4 weeks, somewhere around there.
Yep, I think you are. Yes, it was a month. Okay, so we had you, it was like a day or two or very, just a couple of days before your procedure. And then we had you a month afterwards. And the difference between your life and your mindset and just everything, you were like a completely different person a month out of surgery.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I was.
Oh my God. You do it. And I cannot imagine how different you are now. So how far out from your procedure are you?
I am about 3.5 months.
Holy.
Yeah, about three and a half. Yeah, right.
Okay.
There.
Okay. So our conversation today is going to, I think, be enlightening because as Jason and I can attest to, your life changes so rapidly after surgery. It's almost like you don't even realize that it's happening, but you do realize it. And it gives you a little bit of panic because you just can't figure out how could things be changing so quickly in such a short amount of time.
It's hard to keep up. I mean, like just mentally and physically, like I've had to really like reevaluate my vitamin situation and like figure out, you know, cause I've had labs done a couple times now and some things have come back new that like I have never experienced before. So it's just a whole array, a potpourri, if you will, of new life experiences.
Yeah. I want to say my month, like 2 through 8 are kind of a blur. Like I just remember it just being like extreme weight loss, a little bit of stall, some changes, some labs. And then it was like, yeah, now here I am. Like, I just remember it being like warp speed almost.
Yeah.
It's insane. Okay, so before we dive into the conversation, I would love to just give you the floor. Katie, will you introduce yourself to people who maybe don't know you, don't follow you, or are just new to all of this? So who are you as a beautiful individual?
Well, my name's Katie. I am 29. I was 28 when we filmed our first two, actually. Mm-hmm. So I am now 29. I'm almost 30, which is really hard to wrap my head around. I'm a hairstylist full time. I'm really busy with that. So incorporating my career into this new lifestyle has been a challenge in itself too. But I stay busy a lot of the time, but I started my Instagram page mostly just to be a resource for people because when I started looking into surgery, that's kind of where I went first. I found a couple girls who had started sharing their journeys, but it was a lot of the aftermath. It wasn't a whole lot of like, what's going on now? Like, what is life like in, you know, in the deep, like when it's actually happening. And so I wanted to know more. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it. Once I do this, I'm just going to share every aspect of it. So that way people, if they're interested or curious or just want to know more about the process, that they can look to my page as a resource. So that's kind of how I got started on Instagram. And it's kind of blown up. I didn't really know what to expect. You know, if I could just help one person, that would be great. But just the messages, the DMs that come in, like I have to spend like a couple hours a day just like getting back to people, and it's a lot, but it's great. And I'm very grateful that I'm able to help people and just, you know, be a voice for the weight loss surgery community. So that's where I am.
Well, and I know I appreciate what you share from a woman's perspective, because there's just certain things that we go through that men don't. Like, yeah. Jason is the most empathetic, understanding. I can go to Jason with anything and he is there to support. But it's another thing to talk to somebody who has the same anatomy as me, right? And just kind of is on the same wavelength, right? So, you know, when you're talking about, you know, menstrual cycles, hair loss, staying regular in the bathroom, like all that kind of stuff is just things that like are a little bit different for us. Jason can't speak to all of those things. So the fact that you are just so open and so willing to share, hey, here's what's going on, here's how this is impacting me, and then really to be able to reflect and go, here's what this was like before surgery and here's what this is like after surgery, right? Like, it's not clinical, it's not a doctor, it's just you as a woman saying, here's what I'm going through. Take from this what you will. It's important. It's important. And it's sometimes people don't feel comfortable sharing that. And I absolutely understand, but I'm thankful for the people like you who are out there who are willing to share it. Cause it needs to be talked about.
Yeah. And like my therapist, I have been telling you this about I love my therapist. She's freaking amazing. I highly recommend therapy to anyone going through this process. Also, I'm just going to like plug that in. But like, she's amazing. And I've been telling her just about my Instagram and, you know, things like that. And I said, I mean, I don't share every aspect of my life. She's like, you mean your 5-week period? I was like, oh no, I did share that. So I was very open about that. I said, just more my, I don't know, relationship things with my family. I keep that kind of private, but I said, I'm very open about all of the bodily functions because number one, it's normal. Mm-hmm. And number two, it's awkward, but like people need to know, they need to know the reality of the changes that can happen. That can be a huge factor. So yeah, you know, I feel like it's important.
It's also part of, people will sit in the dark with stuff because of that reason. They don't want to talk about it. You know, they've been told it's painful. They've been told, they're embarrassed. Like, don't talk about your bodily functions with people. That's, you know, you don't discuss bathroom talk. And it's like, well, people need to know they're not alone and that they're not a medical, you know, anomaly. And they're just sitting out there going, I'm the only person in the world who hasn't gone to the bathroom in 7 days. And I'm like, shit, that's rookie. I went 12 days after surgery I went to the bathroom. So I'm like, get those numbers up. Like, because I mean, there's people that are like, it's been 4 days. Am I okay? I'm like, shit, you'll be fine. Like, you're good. Couple caps of Miralax, you'll be all right. Like, don't worry about it. And as people are not, like, it's amazing to me how many people don't know. You just tell them that. Like, take a couple of caps of Miralax and 10 ounces of Gatorade and you'll be fine. Oh my God, thank you. And I'm like, they should have told you that off the rip. Like when you got out of the hospital, they should have been like, go buy Miralax and start taking it now because you're going to need
it. Yes. Which is why I think this podcast, other podcasts, the support that you offer, Katie, is so invaluable. Because if you don't get it from your surgeon or if you're not comfortable reaching out to your surgeon, if you haven't shared your journey with anybody, it's going to feel very isolating. It's just going to feel like you are alone on an island. And it's important that people know that you're not, because if we want to find success, we have to kind of get outside of our own bubble a little bit. We have to ask the questions. And if there's a safe place that we can go to ask those questions, we're going to have a higher chance of finding success after surgery. But that also requires some of us to be a little bit more open about things. And that is what it is, right? And that's okay.
I don't know where I would be without Instagram at this point in my life. Like, it's so it's just so weird to say that an app has like changed my life, but like, I'm not kidding you. Like, I do not know where I would be in my journey if I had not found the weight loss surgery community on Instagram. Yeah. Like, so that, it's just
100%, that makes 100% sense, because I guarantee you there's probably a large faction of people that probably never would have had the surgery had they not have had the support system ahead of, like, had they not been able to foresee the support system that's available on Instagram.
Yes.
Because there's a ton of people that April and I talk to on a daily basis that are like, I'm really second guessing it. I almost didn't do it, but now that I've found all this support, you know, because it's about taking the fear out of people, because there's so much to be afraid of, and the fear of the unknown, the uncertainty.
The life-changing surgery, you know, I'm right there with you.
There's monumental anxiety going into this thing, and, you know, knowing that you've got a safety net and a support system, like everybody, you know, that we follow offers on Instagram, it's just what people need. You know, it's the lighthouse in the storm, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Hey guys, it's April. I don't know if you know this, but Gather Juice Company was our first podcast sponsor. And for good reason. They make some bomb-ass juices. My absolute favorite is the Sunrise and the Pineapple Express. Night Vision and Goldilocks come in a real close third and fourth. I also very much enjoy their smoothies. Pina Colada, top of my list. If you live locally in the Tacoma area, swing by their 6th Avenue location and try it for yourself. You're going to be hooked. Big shout out to Gather Juice. Thank you for your sponsorship.
Of course you would say that. Jesus Christ, Jason. Every time. All right, friends. Let's dive into this. Katie, I'm just going to ask you the exact same questions that we asked you the last time that we met. So if you're good with that, let's do this. Let's dive in.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Okay, so first things first, we did kind of already ask this, but I just want to make sure that we are tracking on the same timeline. How long has it been since your VSG procedure?
3 months, a little more, but right around 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how much weight have you lost since your procedure?
I was going to say 50 pounds, but that's my overall. I haven't weighed myself in like a week, but I'm going to say, so overall, I've lost 50 pounds. Since my procedure, I'm probably right about 43, I think, 43, 44 since surgery. Okay. Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Not easy. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So are you feeling back to normal?
Yes and no. Okay. I'm going to say yes, but I also am experiencing some new things, like kind of like what I mentioned before. So at my last appointment, I had my labs done, and I am iron deficient now, and I've never been iron deficient before. And I also think that has a lot to do with my menstrual cycles, because I have experienced a lot of like heavy bleeding. And so that has started to regulate a little bit more, but I do think that that had a big part of it. So I just am switching up. I finally was like, cleared to take capsule vitamins. I'm not gonna lie, I stopped taking vitamins, and I know that's awful, but like, I cannot do the chewables. I can't do them. Yeah. They're gross. They're chalky. Even the Flintstones. Mm-hmm. I switched to the Flintstones, and I still just had such a hard time. So now I'm taking a bariatric multivitamin with 18 milligrams of iron, and I take that once a day. And I've been taking that for a few days now in a row, and I already feel better. So yeah. I know. I think once I get regular on those, and I have more of a consistent kind of schedule with my supplements and my vitamins, I think I'm going to feel even better. But as far as like my body functions and like pain and all that, yes, I am like back to me.
Dang. Okay. Well, did it take you?
Iron deficiency really is one of those that creeps up on you and can be responsible for so many things that you're feeling. That people just don't know about, because before, you know, pre-op, if you we didn't really spend a lot of time at the doctor before. And if you weren't iron deficient before, you don't know that, you know, how much that plays into fatigue and joint pain and things like that, things that you could feel. And so when you finally
the fatigue is real.
Oh yeah. And the fatigue's the worst part of it, because it'll zap you straight. You'll just be laying around like, I don't understand why I feel like this. And it's like, hey, well. Once you get a little bit of iron in you, you'll be amazed at how quick you perk back up again.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, you know, and they really say that, I mean, of course, we have to be diligent with our vitamins for the rest of our lives. And that's probably something that was not normal for us before surgery. Mm-hmm. So not only has like what we eat and how much we eat changed, but now we really do have to be on top of our vitamins and our supplements. And they say that, you know, your vitamin deficiencies will pop 2, 3, 4 years after surgery. So if you're struggling right after surgery to get those vitamins in, then you've got a real struggle ahead of you in the years ahead if you don't get that on lockdown. So it's so great that you have been on top of it, that you've got labs done, that you know exactly where you're at, that you're really being cognizant about your nutritional health, because it's a lifelong commitment now. And that's hard.
It's hard to get your brain around. I'm so scared of like, I've seen people who have really just like let themselves go. Their hair is just completely falling out. Like they just look sickly because they're not taking care of themselves. And like, I refuse to let that happen. So like, I knew that I needed to get on better vitamins, but I also was like, I don't know what I'm allowed to take. I need to talk to my doctor. And so I had an appointment literally within the week. So I was like, okay, I'm going to talk to her then, get cleared for whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's hard, like without being at work and working so many hours and long days and on my feet, like I have to have a routine, and it is hard sometimes when like I'm exhausted, I come home and I just want to go straight to bed. And like, it's very hard to just like, okay, where are all my pill bottles? Like I need to get them, you know, I'm trying to get better at like pre-portioning my pills out because I hate pill containers. I've tried to use them. I lose them. I don't know where they are. Like so I got little Maggies that I think I'm going to like put all my pills in that I can just grab and go. Like I don't have to worry about like a plastic case. Like I just can just grab a baggie for the day and then I'm good, you know?
So
I think you just have to figure out what works for you, and it can take some time, you know, it can take some time like figuring out, okay, like, when am I taking this vitamin? I have to separate calcium and iron so for better absorption. So I need to make sure that I take my calcium earlier in the day if I'm going to take my iron before bed. Like you just have to figure out, you have to take the time to figure out, okay, when am I taking this and how can I fit this into my day? So like it's a lot. It's a lot to like learn, wrap your head around.
Well, and you said a couple magic sentences for Jason and I. First off, always consult your doctor. Always. You have paid them money. They are your resource. You need to go straight to your doctor if you think something is up. And if you want to switch vitamins, like what I did, send your doctor all of the vitamin stuff. Send your nutritionist all the vitamin stuff and say, does this fit my plan? You can see, you can compare yourself, but you need to have them compare it. And then the other thing that you said, we absolutely have to take the Goldilocks approach to this, because what works for you might not work for me and it might not work for Jason, but we have to see what everybody else is doing and then try what everybody else is doing until we find something that actually works for us and our life. That's the only way that we're going to figure this out. Right.
Totally. Yep. Totally.
So when you think back to what was normal for you before surgery, now you're 3 months, right? Almost 4 months post-op. Mm-hmm. Is your old normal even anything that remotely resembles your new normal? Like, has the normal just shifted, or are you finding that things from your old life are now coming back into your new life? And I don't mean to be evil about that, but I guess I just think, I know, but I just feel like, and I think Jason can attest to this too. No, we need to talk about it.
Yeah, right? Like you have a honeymoon period after surgery where, you know, things are like, you're feeling great. You're on a roll, you know, like you physically cannot eat some foods. So like you have to stick to your plan. And now I can eat literally whatever I want. I've had literally no issues with any foods at all. And something I've noticed is, so I don't know, I think we talked about this in our first recording session, but I used to smoke cigarettes and then I switched to vaping exclusively. And then I stopped vaping for surgery because I was told I had to. I was not happy about it, but I'm like, this is the best for me. Like, it's going to be good. I need to be healthy in all aspects, you know? Long story short, I started vaping again, which I'm not proud of, but honestly, I was getting to the point where I could feel those like cravings coming back for nicotine. And I don't really know how, I think it just is more feeling normal, you know, like, I think that's just part of it. Like, once you start to feel more like yourself, like, things just kind of start creeping back in. And, you know, I think, like, I would get bored and I would just want to, like, put stuff in my mouth. So then I would start eating. And I'm like, no, I am not going to let this nicotine addiction, like, cause me to, like, lose my progress. And so that's why I was like, whatever, I'm just gonna start vaping. Wow. So I really think that, like, once I am a year, 2 years post-op, I'll be in a better place to where I have more established habits as far as, like, eating healthy and, you know, taking supplements regularly. And I'm hoping to start getting back into the gym and fitness. And I think that will make me also want to stop too. But that has been a struggle. I mean, real life, I mean, it kind of smacks you in the face, you know, a couple months after surgery, and then you're faced with your reality. And, you know, sometimes old habits die hard.
Well, you know? And it's, you know, one of the things that you had mentioned too is kind of what I ran into is the no food gives you issues thing, because I'm like, and I told my nutritionist straight to her face, I was like, look, this scares the shit out of me. I was like, once you take the training wheels off and I'm left to whatever I want to eat, I was like, that's bad. I was like, I don't want any part of slipping back into doing dumb stuff again and eating bad stuff. Like, so it is a very scary time and a very scary place to be.
So scary. And, like, we have people, like, our clients at the salon, they bring us treats in all the time. And especially around the holidays. And so, like, the other day for Easter, you know, she brought us all these bags of, like, she made cake balls in different flavors. She made these, like, peanut butter cluster things and, like, this Rice Krispie fudge. I'm like, I cannot. And so, of course, you know, I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna taste a little bit, you know, it was so good. But then, like, I felt like shit. I felt like crap after
Yeah.
bites. And I'm like,
I mean, that's the best part about it though, is that when you don't have issues with it, but it will turn around and be like, hey, guess what, dumbass? Like, guess what? We're not gonna do that again. Nope. But and it reins you in, because what you used to want to do is it'd be one cake ball, then it'd be two or three cake balls, then it'd be some peanut butter, then it'd be this, and it'd be that.
It reins you in. It kind of, like,
you pinball around for a minute, but then you do little bits and you're like, oh God, like, I shouldn't have done that. And that just, and it'll kick you off of it for a long period of time, because you're like, I don't want to feel like that again, so I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
And that's how bacon is for me now. Like, I can't do bacon at all whatsoever. If it's cooked in stuff, I freak, like, my stomach cramps. So I literally have to order stuff. And if it has bacon in it, I have to take the bacon out. And people look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, I thought I would miss it, but I don't. Because the only thing I remember is how it made me feel. And I'm fucking out, because I promise you, that shit hurts. And I'm like, I'm good. All good.
Well, can you do turkey bacon?
I don't know, because it's always been gross to me, so I've never tried. But I can do turkey I can do turkey everything else. So I mean,
I can imagine
why I wouldn't. But I just really don't care to try it. Like, I can do sausage. Good. I can do sausage, so I don't care about bacon.
Oh, good. Okay.
So you bring up a couple points that I want to make sure that we circle back to. What you described, Katie, is getting back on that old highway that exists in our brain when it comes to those foods that we loved. And once we get on that highway, it becomes easier and easier to take that on-ramp when the opportunity presents itself.
Yes.
And the struggle is to not get on the highway. And then if we are on the highway, how do we find our quickest road off? Because if we keep doing that, then all of a sudden that's going to be the only way that we do life, which is how we've done it before. So what you're perfectly highlighting is how easy it is to find ourselves back to what we were doing before after surgery.
Yeah.
Right? It's how life quickly reminds us, oh, surgery was not what I thought it was going to be, right? Even though we had the best intentions, we're hopeful, we're doing everything right. Those types of incidents very quickly slap us across the face and go, oh my God, this is the work of weight loss surgery. I have the tool, but the work is actually, it's all up here. It's all mental.
It really is, you know, and like, at the beginning it does. It seems like the weight just falls off and it's like, oh yeah, I got this. Like, this is easier than I thought. But then, like, literally the honeymoon phase is gone and real life is here, and you have to consciously make those choices. I mean, you just do.
Well, you know, and Eric, The honeymoon phase doesn't fade out either. It just stops. You just wake up one day and it's like.
Yep. You just wake up one day and you want a cookie. And it's like,
yeah, I'm out, bitch.
I know. Like the other night, Eric was my husband. He was like, babe, you know, it sounds so good. I looked at him. I was like, what? He was like,
God, don't say
milk and sugar, which is like a little ice cream shop. And I was like, no, I'm not. I said, if you want to go have ice cream, that's totally fine. Like, I'm not going to be mad at you or anything. Like, go get your ice cream. I said, I am not. I said, I already have two cookies today. Like, I cannot. No. And so, like, as much as I'm like, yeah, that sounds bomb, but like, I have to tell myself, like, no, you can't. You still have to make those decisions, you know?
Yes. Well, and what I've found about doing that is because I'm the world's worst about negotiating with myself. I'll be like, no, you've been good, you've been that, you've done this, you walk around the fucking block, you walk 5 feet today, you're good. Like, I'll find any reason to make myself eat stuff I'm not supposed to. But what I've found about it is there's such a liberation in making the right choice.
Oh my gosh, like, yes.
There's almost a high, there's almost a bigger high that comes from making the right decision than there is from going ahead and allowing yourself to eat whatever it is you didn't think you should eat. Like, I found it's almost more of a, it's more for me to make that proper decision and go, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, you feel good
about everything.
Yes, I totally agree. Like, and it's crazy. It's like, I love being at work and all the girls want to eat out and I can just say, no, I'm good. I brought lunch, you know, and like not feeling bad about it, because you know in the past I feel like I'm missing out, but like now I don't feel that way anymore. Love that. I really don't have that FOMO when it comes to food, and like that took a while to get to though, because I remember, I think we talked about this in our last episode about how like food will always be there. It's not, you're not missing out. Like if you want chocolate chip cookies, like you can make them tomorrow, you can make them next week, like you don't have to. It's not a life or death decision. Like, oh my god, I need a cookie, like, you know, like it's liberating as hell being able to just like say no to that stuff and find an alternative, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And that is the joy and the pain of weight loss surgery, right? Is that you are going to get that moment of anxiety where somebody's going to ask you to do something or a food will be presented to you. And you are going to have that moment of panic of, oh my God, I really want that, but I don't. And the gift of weight loss surgery is it gives you just that second for your rational brain to kick in and go, okay, wait a minute. I have protein, right? You start going through the list. Oh, have I done this? Have I done that? And then something in the back of your brain will go, just say no. And if you can just say no, not today, oh my God, right? You just, it's a muscle and you really do have to build up that muscle, but it can be very empowering, very empowering.
Totally. Yeah, well, totally.
And people think also that you just have to say no once you make the decision and you're good. Even if you have to come back and make that decision again 10 minutes later, because that shit's still there, like in Katie's situation where it's all just sitting out there. Even if you have to keep going back and making that decision, it's going to feel better every single time you make it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's about making that decision more than one time. You have to you have to choose yourself over what it is that's sitting out there. Totally. And you may have to do it 3 or 4 times in that same day. But the more you do it,
I've had to do it every day for a week because those treats have been sitting out on our break room counter. And I had a couple the first day and I may have had one cake ball the second day, but like I haven't, I see it every day and I'm like, nope, we're not doing it. Yeah. We're not doing it. You know, like and I think it's okay to like I want people to know it's okay to like treat yourself and to indulge every now and then, you know, but like one, maybe two, that's it. You know, like you don't need to keep doing it. It's okay to have a taste, but like, you got to cut it off.
What we have been saying pretty much every day now at East to West is food is not contraband. This is our mindset shift. Food is not contraband. I have the choice and I get to feed my body what I know is best for me. And some days what's best is going to be a cake pop. Okay. And then other days I'm going to be able to say, nope, that is not what's best for me. It's the power of choice that allows us to live our lives in the way that we see fit. And
absolutely, you
know, we have to trust ourselves. We're not stupid people. We're smart people. And now that the fog of food has been lifted, we can use what we know about nutrition and our bodies, what we've learned in this community, what we've learned from our doctors, to feed ourselves in the way that we know is best for us. It's powerful, absolutely. But that takes a lot of work to get there.
Hey, it's April with East to West WLS. I don't know about you, but after I dropped a significant amount of weight, my body just didn't feel like my own, and I needed help feeling like it was my own again. So I started receiving chiropractic care. If you live in the Tacoma area, I cannot recommend Grit City Chiro more. Dr. McKenzie is passionate about helping you feel, function, and live better. Check out her Instagram at Grit City Chiro or her website, gritcitychiropractic.com, for more info and to book your first consultation. And if you mention East to West, you'll get a discount on your first visit. I feel amazing after seeing her, and I think you will too.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question that I want to ask you, and if you would like to pass, please do, because okay. I don't know where this question is going to go. But okay. When you said that you had started vaping again because you're feeling that old scent, those whatever, right? These mm-hmm. old things are coming back for you.
Yeah.
What are you going to do when vaping is not enough?
What do you mean? Like, I guess my question to you would be, what's the context? Like, because vaping has always been like my go-to. Are you saying absolutely. Like, will I ever go back to cigarettes? Is that what you mean? Or are you meaning like more filling a void?
Yes. Right. So yeah. Right. So, and I guess it is a really deep question, because it, if you got to a point in your recovery where you were really worried about, you know, feeling that need to just be eating or to be doing something, right. Right. Yeah. And I've never been a smoker, so I don't know, but I know smokers have described that after a while, it's not the nicotine. It's just this sensation. It's this motion, or it's what you do while you are smoking. Right. So it hits different layers of our life. So when you said that, I was like, interesting. So I wonder if you'll ever get to the point where vaping now is not enough and you are feeling like I still need to do something to feel full or to feel this action. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about, right, will you get to the point where now vaping isn't enough and now I'm really drawn to do food or to do other things to help you feel that? Have you thought about that?
I haven't really, but I think that brings up a good point. I also think so there's a couple things that play into my nicotine addiction. And I think, you know, part of it is that, you know, a lot of the girls I work with, they all smoke. And when it was cold outside, I didn't have to go outside and smell it, but now it's nice out and we like to hang out at the, you know, at the picnic table out there and they're all smoking and it's hard. It's social. And, you know, my siblings, you know, they like to vape. So anytime I'm at a family gathering, we're all sitting around vaping. And, you know, coping with my mom's death last year, this got me through that. And I know like that just seems crazy, but it does. I do kind of want to try CBD, like gummies or just something just to help relax me if I need it. But I honestly think it's going to take pregnancy to really get me through that. Because if I have somebody other than myself to worry about, I feel like it's going to take that for me to be like, okay, I am bringing another human into the world and I am not going to subject them to my bad habits, you know? And so I think once I do have kids, I think, you know, my life is going to be busy enough with taking care of them. I'll have more to focus on than just myself. I won't, I won't be as selfish as I am now. So.
Well, and what you said really, all of a sudden something clicked in my brain. And we've talked about this before on the podcast too, Jason, I know you'll remember this, but when we make the decision to go through bariatric surgery, sometimes we can feel like an outsider. right? Because now we've made a decision that maybe goes against our social group's norms. Or if we're saying, hey, I recognize I have a problem and I'm going to do something about it, people instantly take that as a judgment on them, because if you can do something about it, well, they can too. So then they think, well, why am I not doing something about it? It just creates this whole weird dynamic where all of a sudden your social circle, you feel like an outsider in your own group.
Yeah.
Well, what you just said is, so not only do I feel like an outsider because I've gone through bariatric surgery, right? And people have their own judgments about that. But if I'm also now not vaping, if I'm also not a part of that circle, now I feel like a double outsider. Not only have I changed, you know, big things about me, I'm physically changing, I'm emotionally changing, but now I'm not partaking in another social thing. So now I feel like even more of an outsider. So when you have this desire to feel like you're normal again, well, no wonder you want to go back to doing what felt normal before.
Yeah, it totally does make sense. I actually haven't really thought about it like that, but that, you know, subconsciously, it's totally there. And I remember my therapist, you know, when I was telling her just about everything, you know, she's been, we've been together, I think, since last summer, maybe. And so, you know, she was there for the whole me quitting vaping, having surgery, starting back up. And I've been honest with her because therapy is not going to work if you're not honest. Like, you have to be open and honest, you know? And so, you know, I told her, and, you know, in the beginning, you know, when I was getting ready to quit, she was like, I am worried this is going to be too much for you. She was like, quitting nicotine, having surgery, like doing all of these things all at one time, plus grieving your mom. She was like, that's a lot on a person. I'm like, I know. I said, but I don't have a choice. I mean, I have to for surgery. And so now it's like, there's a part of me that's just like, well, she did think it was too much. Now I'm justifying it. But, you know, what I love about her is like, she doesn't make me feel guilty about it. And I know it's something that we're going to continue to work on and she's going to help me through. But, you know, I'm human and I have to accept that. And I can't let myself just like feel guilty about it because it's part of me and I will get through it. I will totally get through it, but I have to feel convicted, you know, to like really have that mindset. And right now I'm still conquering my food addictions. So.
Yeah. I'm still conquering mine. As I'm sure Jason would say, he is still, this is never ending. This is a lifelong mission now. And we have to be aware of it every moment of the day. And it can be exhausting, right? Which is why we look for little pockets of relief with what used to bring us comfort. And it's in those moments that we have to continue to do the work and go, oh my God, this is why I'm doing this. Do I have the capacity, the energy to deal with this today? But putting that little seed in your brain is what will allow you to continue to come back to it and deal with it when you do have the time and the capacity.
Right. Yeah.
But oh my God, it's exhausting. Exhausting.
Yeah, it is.
It is. But I mean, Katie brought up a real good point. I mean, she's human. We're all human. It's, you know, we can't expect just to go through the surgery or go through a little bit of therapy or go through a little bit of, you know, post-op aftercare and just be perfect. Like, it just doesn't work that way. And there's a lot, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that like to portray it that way and act like, you know, oh, all I do is put this little belly band on and I go to the gym a couple of times a week and I look fucking amazing. And it's like, well, that's cute, but that's not exactly what you do. And we know you have hard times and everybody struggles. And there may be somebody out there that came through surgery and blew through it like no problem and lost a shit ton of weight and never has to worry about their, you know, their food addiction or whatever again. And high five to you. But 99.97% of the population that's had weight loss surgery is not that way. And we struggle and it's okay. Like, it's okay to not be okay. We say that shit all the time because it's true.
Yeah. And like, you know, and it's hard because like, you know, when you have an audience looking to you for inspiration and guidance through all of it, you know, like the last thing I want to do is say, oh, well, you know, I started back up on my nicotine again. Like, you know, it's embarrassing, you know, and there's part of me that's like, you know, a little ashamed, but I refuse to just like pretend to be somebody that I'm not. I'm not gonna, you know, and I want to be authentic. I want to be completely myself. And so, you know, I'm not gonna hide it. I don't willingly show myself vaping on my stories because like I just don't want to do that. But like if somebody asks me about it, I'm gonna be honest. And I just think it's important to like acknowledge the fact that like this is real life. And it's not everybody's journey is going to be cake, you know, like you have your everyday battles that you struggle with and, you know, everybody's got to figure out their own path.
You made a good point because you said, you know, before you had stated that, you know, it's not, if you could just help one person, you're not going to help anybody. I mean, you may help some people by being inauthentic, but you're not going to help them in a way you would if you were to come out there and lay it out all out on the table and say, look, this is the thing. And if you genuinely want to provide support, that's going to be how you go about it, because you can't really truly help people if they think something's happening that's really not happening.
Right.
Yeah, what's good for the gram isn't necessarily what's good for the world. And we're always torn between this, right? Because, and Jason and I, we speak about this all the time. We know that, you know, your chances of developing alcoholism after bariatric surgery are through the roof. We know that addiction transfer is real. We know that women and men are going to transfer to alcohol and then shopping and sex and nicotine and drug, right? Like, there's all of these things that we could transfer our food addiction or dependence or tolerance to. And we're always struggling because I have a drink every now and then. Jason does something that's going to trigger somebody else, right? So we're always torn between, okay, well, how do we show people, like, well, this is like our real lives. I enjoy a can of Truly every now and then, right? Or I enjoy too much of it. But at the same time, it's like, okay, but that's real life. And how do we walk people through, like, okay, well, this is what I'm going through. And this isn't a big deal for me, but I understand this could be a big deal for you. But oh my gosh, you know, addiction transfer is real and alcoholism is real. I mean, it's just, you're constantly torn between this battle and what we keep falling back to on, well, but this is authentic. This is real. And we have, and if we're going to help people and if we're going to let people know that this is a real struggle that we go through and that you might go through as well, you're constantly doing this cost benefit analysis.
Yeah.
And always. Always.
I love the way that Ked from Sleeve Believe the Hype has done it. Like, he puts his stuff out, his cooking videos, and he's like, look, man, don't come at me in my inbox about what I'm eating, about what I'm doing, how I'm prepping my food. Because at the end of the day, I do this shit for me. If you don't like what I'm doing, don't watch it. But I'm not telling you you should do it this way. I'm just telling you, I'm showing you that I cook how I cook, and that's how it is. Because at the
end of the day,
dude, that guy.
We love him.
Chef's kiss.
Like, at the end of the day, you have to realize, like, I'm showing you guys part of this for entertainment, but the other part of it really seriously is, you know, if we're talking about, if you're asking me a specific question about how I feel you should do or approach something, I'm going to give you the honest answer. If I'm putting up a reel about how I cooked, how I prepped my own singular dinner myself, that's got nothing to do with me telling you how to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's just two different, it's two separate pieces of content that people need to realize when they're taking that in. I'm not telling you should fry fish and eat that. I'm just telling you last night I fried fish and ate that. Like, that's just how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey guys, it's April. If you've been following us for a while, you know that my favorite hot beverage is Retreat Drinks Hot Cacao. I love it because it's made with four simple organic ingredients: cacao, coconut cream, maple, and Himalayan salt. That's it. It is decadent and creamy and just hits the spot when I need something sweet. And the best part about it, it's not going to break my macro bank. If you want to give it a try, visit their website, retreatdrinks.com, and use the code EASTTOWEST to get 20% off your first order.
All right. Let's continue down our list of questions here. So the next one that I have is, was your recovery what you thought it would be?
No. Well, yes and no. So in the beginning, I think when I addressed this in my last recording, I said no, because I had a lot of pain. I was not
actually.
Yeah.
Is that what I said?
To be clear.
yeah. But I will say, I had hoped that I wouldn't have a whole lot of issues with transitioning to different foods and textures and things like that. And that, has gone well. And so I think returning to normal has gone pretty well, kind of like I had hoped. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Yes. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, we can look at everybody else's experience. And the good thing about that is that we have an idea of what could be ahead of us. And the good part about that is that if you do experience something that somebody else has experienced, you have a resource that you can go to kind of say like, oh, okay, well, if I'm experiencing something similar to that person, then, you know, maybe there's a nugget of information that I can glean from them. So it's just good to know, like, where everybody's at. Okay, next question. What has been the hardest thing to adjust to post-op?
Oh my gosh, I know the answer to this. And this is kind of like, I don't know, it's crazy. It's kind of hard for me to admit this at first, but only being able to eat like 5 bites, that is hard. That is so hard for me. And it's, you know, at the beginning, it's not bad, because, you know, it's like, oh, I can only eat certain things. But like, when you're out to dinner with friends and you take 5 bites of your meal and you're so full and everybody else is sitting there eating for another half hour, you can't drink. So, you know, you're just like sitting there just playing with your food, and the food is so good, but like, you can't eat any more of it. And that has been so frustrating for me. And like, I know that's what I signed up for. I know like that's why the surgery is successful, because I am going to get full quicker. And, you know, that's a good thing. And so I've worked on my kind of mental battle with that over the last couple of weeks. And I've really tried to tell myself like, look, this is a good thing. And like, I've had to really tell myself that, because it is hard. It is hard. Once you start opening up your diet and your palate to, you know, all the good stuff, the good flavors, it is frustrating sometimes. It can be very, very frustrating, but it's a good thing. And I just have to keep telling myself, you know, I know that won't last forever. I know I'll be able to take more than 5 bites eventually, but that's what I need. That's what I need to succeed. So.
Well, and what you are living through and what you're sharing with people is how you shift your mindset around. It's how you make that change. And it's just literally telling yourself, this is a good thing, right? This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing that I can eat so little. Well, and the other thing too, it's one thing to sign up for it, right? It's one thing to know that I'm only going to be able to eat 5 bites. It's a completely different thing to understand what that feels and looks like in the moment. You cannot be prepared for that until you're actually living through it. And what you are demonstrating is that you're living through it. It's one thing to know on paper, another thing to actually go, oh, this is what that actually means. Because what it actually means is something you did not anticipate. And you couldn't have anticipated, because before surgery, you just don't believe that you're going to be full after 5 bites. Because you've never experienced it.
Like, oh, sweet. That's awesome. I would love to just be full after 5 bites. That's how I thought that, you know, I was like, yes, like I am here for that. But then like, it's like, okay, well, 2 out of my 5 bites went to the appetizer, or 3. And so then I can literally only take 2 bites of my actual meal. And then I'm done. Like, this is what happens to me every time. Mm-hmm. And so it's frustrating, but it's also, that's also more for like, it's been frustrating for me when I'm out to eat at social events, when I'm at home, or when I like pre-make my meals, like meal prep or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not as bad, because I have control over what I'm eating, when I'm eating, and all of that. So it's a little different, you know, when I'm prepping at home, it makes me not want to eat out, which is a good thing, you know? But then there's just those, you know, times when you can't help it. You have plans, and you don't want to just like say no to your plans, because, you know, so it's trying to find balance and all of that, I guess.
Well, and by this point, we're as weight loss surgery patients on this, this side of the surgery, we're used to having those difficult conversations with ourselves and sitting down and kind of reframing our thought process. And that's something that comes a little bit easier on this side than it is on the other side, because we're just we're still in denial and trying to, you know, rationalize and talk about all the shit that we know is not true. Just lie to our faces. And then, on the other side, we've had these conversations, talked about difficult stuff with ourselves. So kind of reframing that is something that you have to do a little more. I mean, you may have to end up doing it a little more often than you thought you would, but it still has to happen. The thing for me that I've noticed after surgery now is eating out. I just can't find anything that tastes as good as I used to think it did. Like, nothing. Doesn't matter what the fuck it is.
Really?
I told my wife yesterday we were out. I was like, I'll just start cooking at home. I'm not eating out anymore. It's a waste of money because I know the stuff that I cook at home, I can cook better 90% than the stuff we get out to eat somewhere. And I'm just like, I'm tired of the roulette of, well, maybe this time it'll be good. And man, hopefully we'll land on a good number. Like, hopefully this will be. And it's just stupid because I'm like, here I am just chunking money out the window when I could just go buy duffel bags of stuff that I could meal prep with for the same amount of money that I'm spending at restaurants for, you know, and not to mention, like, we sat at a restaurant yesterday where every single person that was in that restaurant didn't want to be there. And I've never been in a situation like that before. It was so, like, there was so much tension in the air. I couldn't wait to get out of that place because I looked around, like, there was twice as many people working in the restaurant than there were people in the restaurant eating. So I literally heard everybody's side conversations about how awful it was and how horrible everybody was. And the place was shit. The people were shit. The food was shit. Everything was shit. And I'm like, I told them, I was like, dude, we got to go. Like, this is actually altering my mood right now because I just feel it's like a blanket on top of me of just negativity. I was like, we got to go. Like, even the people that got cut to go home early were pissed off. And I was just like, how could you be mad? You got let go early. Like, get out of here. It was awful. So that environment, that type of thing. But that's just how it's been lately with art, you know, trying to go out and enjoy life, trying to get back to kind of some type of normalcy. And I'm just like, I'll just stay home and cook at home. It's just better all around.
Honestly, that makes me want to cook more. Like, hearing you say that, it makes me want to, like this is another reason why I can't wait to buy a house, because like our kitchen right now is so small and I can't wait to have an island. Like, I want an island where I can prep the food, you know, and just have that like space. And so like, I think like when we buy a house and we have room to actually entertain, I would love to change my family tradition of going out to eat for birthdays to me cooking. Let me cook. Yeah. Let me prepare all the meals for all the birthdays, and you all can just come over and we'll eat good, and it'll be better, because then we can sit on the couch and talk and hang out and not have to be, you know, secluded to a table at a restaurant that's not even comfortable. So that gives me hope, actually, hearing you say that.
It's definitely a mind shift, and I'm going to be doing a lot more of it because I'm just tired. Like, we have a couple of places we go with friends and stuff that are like for trivia or stuff like that. So it's different. Yeah. Those aren't really necessarily restaurant settings, and those are, you know, kind of a little more controlled. So those, that stuff will still happen, but the majority of actually going out for dinner, I'm pretty done with that, and DoorDash and Postmates and all that shit. Like,
Well, you know, and I think especially now that kind of some of the COVID restrictions are lifting, we're very excited to get out, right? Because we haven't been able to do that for so long. But then we're met with this catch-22 of either this food isn't as good as what I could make at home, or like Katie, you know, in your experience, like it just tastes so good, but I can only eat 5 bites.
Yeah.
But this discussion is just demonstrating how much our mindset can and should shift after surgery, because we need to find joy with food again, and we need to learn to appreciate very small bites of very good food when we are out in places that we enjoy. And these are all tips and tricks and techniques that we can use to kind of reconnect with food in a healthy way instead of in an unhealthy way, which is what we did before surgery. So,
Awesome.
What have been some of the biggest physical changes that you've noticed post-op?
Well, I'm down like 2-3 pant sizes now, which is really exciting. I'm also down a couple shirt sizes. I was in like a 2X, 3X. I am now in like a large, extra large, which I prefer extra large, but there are some things that I wear in a large that I like and that I'm starting to get into more. So that's exciting. I think I mentioned this in our last recording, but like sweating, like I don't sweat anymore. I remember I would do a men's cut at work, and I would just be, I mean, dripping. And then their hair flies off the clippers and it just sticks to me, and it's just so like I can do a men's cut without sweating. So like I think that has been like one of the best changes has been the fact that like I'm not sweating all the time, I'm not hot all the time. That has been huge. I do have more energy, although with my iron deficiency that I'm still working on, I'm kind of fighting, you know, fighting some fatigue right now, but overall I still have the desire to want to do more. I run around with my niece, I play with her, and I always just wanted to like sit and watch movies before because I was lazy and, you know, didn't feel like getting up, but I can take her to the park and, you know, play with her, and it's fun and I have fun with her. And so I think our relationship has grown from that too. So that's been exciting, but yeah, it's been awesome. I cannot wait to just continue to progress. So
yes. Well, and it's nice too because those little physical check-ins that are not necessarily scale related really help fill our gas tank when we're running on empty, right? When we're feeling like, oh, this is just too much and I'm so tired. Yeah. All of a sudden you just realize like, oh, I can do this little thing that I couldn't do before, or this is so much easier, right? It's those non-scale physical ahas that really help us get over those humps.
Yeah, non-scale victories are huge. Like I remember I haven't washed physically because I used to, every car I've ever owned, I've hand washed myself, dried, done all the stuff, you know. I haven't done that in probably 15, 20 years. Yesterday, the new truck that I got, I took it, washed it, did all the stuff, and I was perfectly fine doing it, wasn't out of breath, didn't die.
Yeah.
I fucking ran the other day, y'all. Ran.
What? Ran.
Nothing was chasing me. I wasn't running out of the way to get out of a car. Like, no, I ran because we went out. Like it was one of the nights we had actually gone out for dinner, and I parked the car like in the middle of nowhere because I didn't want people parking by me. And it turned out that there was too long of a wait at the restaurant. So we were leaving, and I was like, well, y'all don't want any part of walking to get the car. So I'll go get it and I'll be right back. And as I'm going, I was like, fuck it, let me just see if I can. There I am, just boop, 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 boop. I ran for like probably 50 yards, and I haven't done that in probably 30 years. And I was like, I didn't die.
That's amazing. I didn't die. I'm out
of breath. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Like, I didn't think I would ever be able to do that or want to do that. And I was just like, let me see if I can. And it actually worked. I was stuck.
That's
amazing.
That's huge. That's huge.
My shins still hurt today, but you know.
the price we pay for becoming better humans.
Yeah. My legs were concerned about what I thought I was doing, but other than that, I didn't fall, so that's a plus.
Hey man, victory. Victory. Oh my god, I love it.
Hey guys, this is April. Did you know that you can leave us a voice message with your feedback or a question right on our Anchor homepage, and we can incorporate it into the podcast? So cool. Head to anchor.fm/east to west WLS. Scroll down the page a little bit until you see the message button. Using your smartphone, click that button and leave us your feedback or a question, and we will drop it in an upcoming podcast episode. We're so excited to connect with you. Thank you for your continued support of East to West WLS.
Katie, what has been some of the biggest emotional changes that you've noticed post-op?
I will say the hormones changing are real. I've been quite emotional. I will say it's not all the time. I am in a fantastic mood most days. I feel great. I'm happy. I'm happy to be living, which it feels amazing. However, there, you know, with rapid weight loss and just changes in your diet and everything comes hormonal changes, hormonal differences and balances and all that. And, so definitely have experienced, some emotional distress at times, but it's okay. You know, like I said, I'm still grieving the loss of my mom. We're almost at a full year. So like, I've still got some things in my personal life that are kind of, you know, coming out and I'm dealing with, but for the most part, when, you know, I'm not on my lady days, as I call it, I feel great. I feel amazing. And it's just so nice. Like, I've been kind of weaning myself off of my antidepressants, and that has been crazy, because I used to go, like, I would forget to take my meds. I was stupid, which I think everybody does this at some point in their life, but like, I just would be lazy and not take my meds, not just take care of myself. And I mean, I would just be off the walls, a psycho. I mean, not like crazy psychotic, but just emotional. Like,
yeah.
And like, so bad. And I haven't really been like that since I've been starting to wean off. So it's been amazing. Yeah.
Wow.
That's been really cool.
Well, and I would just imagine too, to have the flip of more good days than bad days is a positive change,
yes.
Right? And having bad days is normal. That is, as humans, we should experience the full range of emotions in our life. But to kind of hear you say, like, you know, there's more good days than bad days. And when the bad days come, it sounds like you have some tools in your toolbox to kind of help you get through those bad days.
Yeah, totally. And like, I just remember when I first started taking my medication, I think it was 2017. And I remember talking to my doctor about, I remember her saying, we've had a few, you know, a few too many tearful days. Because I mean, I would be crying probably 3 to 4 days out of the week. Just like, that was just like normal for me, because I was just sad. I was depressed. It's weird. It's weird being on the opposite end, but it feels freaking amazing. Amazing.
Awesome. What have been some of your biggest aha moments post-op?
Honestly, like, I don't know. I don't know how to answer this, because I feel like when you say aha, to me, I think of like, oh, like, I didn't know like that would, you know, it's kind of more of like a surprise type thing, mm-hmm. I guess is what I think of. But I also kind of what we talked about before with like eating and getting full so fast, like that was kind of an aha to me, because I'm like, dang, it's almost like a frustrating aha, you know. But then
also then
I have the aha of like, okay, hello, ding dong, this is what you did, like, what were, you know,
all of those factor in 100%. They can be good
yeah. So, and I don't know, just like, I don't know, I'm shopping, it's always been a problem for me, but like now, like, it's weird, it's like buying things that like I am not expecting to fit me, that like I want to wear in the future because I think it's cute, and I'm like, I can't live without that, I'm just gonna get it in a size large, you know, because I'll be able to wear that eventually. And then putting it on and it fitting, like that in itself is like, oh, like I actually don't need to be looking at shirts that are two sizes too big for me. So like trying to catch up with the bodily changes, like that's crazy. Like that has been like such like a, I don't even know the word. It's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. It takes a lot. And I think what makes this question so difficult to answer is that, I guess for me at least, I still feel like I'm almost 2 years post-op, and almost every day I feel like I have an aha moment. Right. I mean, it's just like, they just, it comes so rapidly, and it comes in moments when you're not expecting it. And you get, at least I get to the point where I'm just in awe that I'm still having them, because I just think I've done so much learning, so much growing, I've changed in so many ways. How am I still having these moments of like, oh my God, I didn't realize that. Or how am I just now understanding that? And good and bad, right? This isn't a negative or a positive thing. It's just literally when that thing pops off in your brain and you go, oh my God, I did not understand, realize. Yeah, it's a lot. It can be a lot.
And it's a lot. But it's good. It's
people,
all good.
That also shows how naive people are that say this is, you know, the easy way out, or people that didn't realize, like, oh, I just thought I would just know that this was this, or, you know, people just, oh, I just thought I had the surgery and it was all cool. Like, you just don't realize there's so much that goes into this and how deep it goes, and that it's almost never ending. Like, it's just, there's always going to be something that you learn or don't, you know, it's just, it's perfect.
Yeah, totally.
So what is stressing you out at the moment?
My job, and trying to kind of navigate, like, this is probably the biggest stressor in my life, is when to eat, when to drink, in between my busy work day, because I have to get better at my fluids, which I'm still working on. I'm not terrible, but like I could be better. But also, you know, I'm running around and I only have a 5-minute break. Do I eat or do I drink? Like that's, it's hard. And especially like with COVID, you know, we used to be able to keep like cups and things on our stations and just sip. Well, when you have a mask on and, you know, you're not supposed to have food and drink out, which we're kind of lax about that at our salon, we still let people, but I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. So like, I don't want to just walk around there with a water cup all day and all that. So like, it's hard. Managing that has been probably one of the hardest things, because by the end of the day, I'm freaking starving because it's all hitting me on my ride home. I'm like,
yes,
oh man, I need to eat, you know, but I'm exhausted. And so then I want to eat when I get home, but then I want to go to bed, but then I need to like let it all settle so nothing gets stuck when I like go to sleep.
I didn't even think about that, because it's like, holy shit. Yeah. In 5 minutes, you're going to get in like maybe five bites, like if five bites. I mean,
yeah,
it's when it's supposed to take you 30 minutes to eat a meal, how are you supposed to jam a Built Bar down in 5 minutes? You can't.
Yeah, you can't. So like sometimes after I'm done shampooing a client, I tell them, okay, head on back to my seat and I'll meet you there. I just have to wipe out the bowl. So I wipe out the bowl, run to the back, take a bite of something, and then run back to, you know, like you have to just like figure out when you can just run to the back, take a sip, and just like keep going on your day. And so it's hard. I mean, like, because a lot of times as stylists, we double and triple book ourselves. That's how you make good money in the industry, is by double booking your clients. So while somebody's color is processing, you take a haircut in between that 30, 40 minutes or whatever. And then when that haircut is done, then you shampoo your client and then you're moving on to the next. So like, you don't really take time to sit down unless you schedule that in. So I try not to double book, but then I keep, you know, I have clients that reach out to me, hey, can you squeeze us in? Or, hey, do you have time? And blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm booked out for weeks and I'm like, well, sure, you know, come on in this time, I can get you in, you know? So it's just, and then it ruins my like plan for the day. So it's a lot. It's a lot to try and manage. So I think that is probably the most stressful part for me right now.
Wow. I would have never in a million years known that. I mean, I don't know your industry. I don't know how it works. Right. Wow.
Yeah.
So what have you thought about, like, or what are you trying to do right now to kind of triage that situation? Or what are you hoping to try in the future? Or have you even gotten there yet?
Well, I'm kind of working on that currently. Okay. I think I'm trying to set better boundaries for myself and saying no to people when I truly do not have time to get them in. Like, and it, you know, it sucks. Like, we are primarily an appointment-based salon and we book out usually at least 2 to 3 weeks. Like, we don't normally have appointments if you call same week, unless it's a haircut. Sometimes haircuts, we can squeeze them in, but that's the problem I'm running into, is like, okay, the only place I can squeeze you in is while my color's processing, but that's my lunch break. So it's hard unless I want to come in an hour early or stay an hour later. And then I'm, you know, okay, well then I have to wake up an hour earlier. And then it's just like, I'm trying to just like set better boundaries and learn to say no more often.
It starts to really play into your work-life balance at that point, because you're staying up an hour earlier, which means you got to go to bed earlier, which means you lose out on some of the time, you know, with your
husband. Yes, exactly. Before.
There's lots of things that play into it that people don't realize what those boundaries will do for you. There's freedom that comes at doing that and being able to tell people life. No on a lot of different fronts. So I mean, that's just something that I feel like before maybe played into a lot of gaining acceptance because of our size and the way we feel about ourselves. We always wanted to be accepted. So we didn't ever want to tell people no, because we didn't think we were worthy of saying no to people. I know that's how I felt a lot of the time, because my wife got on me all the time. She's like, when do you have time to do all the stuff you tell people you're going to do? Because I would never tell anybody no to help anybody. But when it came time for me to need help, I would never ask anybody to help, because I'm like, oh no, I'm fine. I can do it. I'll get it. And she's like, you help all these people, but you don't ever ask anybody to help you. And I'm like, yeah, no, because I've got it. It's fine. But knowing the fact that that's kind of how we approach things and feel, now yeah. that we're on the other side and changes are happening, you know, you kind of start feeling like, well, you know what? I need a little time to myself. I need this for me.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm worthy. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so you start kind of getting that back. And that's one of the biggest shifts in mindset that we really need to tackle is the fact that you are worthy to tell people, no, your time is valuable to yourself. You do need yeah. that me time. It's okay to do that.
Right. Yeah. And I think like I tend to compare myself to my coworkers too. And, you know, I work with some girls who are very like, they've got great stamina. And so they work 12 hour days, fitting people in, you know, occasionally they'll take a half hour or whatever for themselves during the day. But when you work a 12 hour shift, generally you get an hour to an hour and a half of breaks throughout the day, like in any other job. But like for us, that just doesn't happen. And so I think I compare myself to them. I was talking about this on my Instagram stories yesterday, actually, because I kind of like had a meltdown because I was just so tired. I was so tired and I'm not eating enough during the day. I'm burning so many calories on my feet all day. I'm not eating enough to sustain myself. And mm-hmm. if I keep doing that, then I am going to become more deficient in nutrients. My hair is going to fall out. And like, mm-hmm. so I kind of, you know, like I have to take the time to eat. Mm-hmm. I have to start doing that. Otherwise I'm going to regret it. So yeah. when I was talking to my Instagram followers and they all were like, Katie, you preach on here all the time about not comparing your journey to other people's journeys and look what you're doing. And I'm like, oh my God, you're so right. Like, look at me, I'm not taking my own advice. So I think that's another thing like I'm really trying to work on is just like not comparing my work day to theirs. Like I don't have that stamina. I physically cannot have that stamina eating 800 mm-hmm. calories a day. Like it just doesn't happen. And no. so I have got to do what I have to do and not feel guilty about it.
Well, because you'll mess around and make yourself sick and be laid up in the hospital is what's going to happen. You'll yeah. either get dehydrated or malnourished. Because we see that yeah. so many times in people that have had surgery and they're like, no, I can just keep chugging through the day and I'll make it up on the back end. Well, the back end never comes because like you said, right. you're too tired, you pass out, you do whatever, and you just don't make it up. And eventually you run yourself in such a deficit that, yeah, I mean, the mm-hmm. weight's coming off, but you're hurting yourself. And eventually you're yeah. going to get really sick and life will stop it for you because you'll be in the hospital and you can't work like that. And you'll have to be able to watch your food.
That is very true. Very true.
Wow. You've done some big growing. I mean, you are really battling. You are really going through it.
I am. I really am. And it's something, and you know, like there's a lot of days that I do really well at managing mm-hmm. my schedule and all of that. For the most part, it's been good, but then there are days where yeah. I squeeze people in and I am killing myself. And then like, I'm regretting it the next day. This has happened too many times. Mm-hmm. And those are the days where I'm like, okay, enough. You have to stop. And so like, I'm finally at this place where like this last time, like on Saturday, I did this. I overbooked myself. And then Sunday morning comes, Easter morning, and I'm crying. I woke up crying because like my body hurt. I didn't sleep well. I didn't get enough water in the day before, actually probably the last few days. So mm-hmm. I know I'm just exhausted. And so mm-hmm. that's when I kind of just had a little come to Jesus meeting with myself and said, okay, we can't do this anymore. Like mm-hmm. we cannot do this anymore. Yeah. So I think here recently is when I'm like, okay, we gotta figure something out. So
one of my favorite quotes was actually passed along to me from my dad, and he heard it from somewhere, but and I'm gonna butcher this, so this isn't exactly, but he said, you know, change occurs when the pain of remaining the same becomes too great. And right. And it sounds like you're kind of on yeah. that threshold. The pain of continuing to live out as you have been doing is just too great. It's mm-hmm. it's taking too much away from you and who you are as a person and the person that you want to become, that you realize, okay, I'm going to have to make some changes. And as we have come to know and learn, making changes is painful. This is not easy. And when we get to the point where we acknowledge, okay, I have to make changes. I've already been through a lot. I don't want to take on anymore. I don't want any more painful experiences, mm-hmm. but we have to get through that pain. We have to move through the pain to get to that pain-free point. It's yeah. a lot. It's a lot, but it sounds like you're there.
We're getting there.
Wow. Wow. Good job, friend. Mm. So I guess a great question to kind of end this on is, what is giving you hope right now?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, my Instagram community gives me hope because they are so supportive. And, you know, it's like, I had a whole meltdown yesterday and I had so many messages from people just saying, you are such an inspiration. Keep your head up. You're going to figure this out, you know? And just knowing that, like, I have so many people cheering for me and like rooting me on. And I don't know, I think like, even just with how much my Instagram has grown, you know, opportunities have risen from that. And, you know, maybe my career is going to go in a different direction one day. I don't know. I love what I do, but I also am sick of being exhausted all the time. So, yeah. You know, I'm not everything. There's nothing off the table at this point. I am open to all the possibilities. So I'm very hopeful about just people that I've met and creating good relationships with people and seeing what doors God's going to open for me. And I think, you know, the farther along I get in this journey, the better I'm going to feel. And, you know, once, I guess also the farther along I get, I'm going to become more established in my routines, my vitamins, my, you know, and getting, I think I'm just going to feel so much better. And I'm going to want to do more and want to pursue new things. And, you know, so I'm really excited.
Well, we are excited to see what the future has in store for you, because Jason and I know this isn't easy, but as you said, the further you get along in the journey, the more you discover about yourself and what works for you, and the more energy you can bring forward to the world, right? As the weight disappears, more of you can be made present to the universe, and really great things happen when more of us show up for ourselves and for our community and for our world. So you've got some big things coming.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm excited.
Yep. Agreed. So we're hoping to be able to check in with you kind of every 3 months at this point. I think that's kind of Just a good like, Okay, so if you think forward to yourself 3 months from now, what are you hoping to accomplish, or what are you hoping to kind of like better understand? What do you want to be able to tell yourself 3 months from now?
Oh my gosh. Well, 3 months, I'll be 6 months post-op, which, oh my gosh, I cannot wait for that. Like, I feel like things are just going to be falling into place a little bit better. And I kind of thought that's where I would be now, but I'm still like, I'm realizing I'm still very early on in the process. Like, it's only been 3 months, you know, like that really is not that long. So my number one goal, which I don't think I'll have a problem with, but I want to be in Wonderland. And I think I will be, because I'm about 15 pounds from there. So I'm really excited for that. So hopefully that won't be an issue. So that would be amazing. In 3 months, we'll be in the dead heat of summer. So I am excited to, gosh, just to be confident in a swimsuit, you know, like I'm getting there, but I think I'm just going to feel even better. And, you know, in another 3 months. And I think what I would tell myself is to just constantly have an open mind, you know, and don't make things harder than they need to be. And don't be afraid to put yourself first, because like, I mean, ultimately you have to be able to put yourself first and love who you are and cherish who you are as a person, to know that like, you're worthy of a good life and you're worthy of good friendships and coworkers and a good job and people that are going to respect you. And so you have to put yourself first in order to do that. So I think those are my nuggets of, you know, my little golden nuggets.
And I know just from personal experience, that can be a really hard place to get to, because for so many years in our lives, we thought the exact opposite of that. So not only are we physically changing, we're emotionally changing, but we're realizing that perhaps what we used to think was not actually true and it wasn't really serving us.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of work to go from where we were to where we want to go, but you seem committed to the process and you seem committed to figuring out how you are going to make that happen. And you've acknowledged this just in this conversation. Hey, I've stumbled along the way, but here's what I'm doing to kind of reframe, to reshift, to refocus, and to try something new, because I'm not going to give up until I find what's perfect for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Amazing. Oh my gosh, Fred. Okay. Well, did we leave anything unsaid? Is there anything that you want to just put out there to the universe for our and your listeners and followers to know?
Honestly, I feel like we hit everything pretty well. I think staying positive is a big part of this journey. And there are a lot of people who reach out to me and ask for advice all the time. And, you know, the number one thing I always tell them is to stay positive, even on the worst days, even when you're in pain, even when you're on a liquid diet, the only way to get through it is to stay positive, whether that's, you know, telling yourself affirmations, whether it's getting on Pinterest and just staying motivated by seeing, like visually seeing that in front of you, or calling somebody up and asking for, you know, a little bit of a pep talk. Like, you have to keep positivity number one in your life. You have to. And you have to believe that everything that you're doing right now has a bigger purpose. And like, that's the only way you're going to get through it. So that would be something that I would just leave with the listeners.
I love it. I cannot agree more. Thank you for ending us on that very positive note.
Yeah.
that's a perfect exactly right. Oh my goodness. Well, Katie, we cannot thank you enough for joining us today. We know that your life is very crazy. We know you got a lot going on, and we appreciate every moment that we can have of yours, because we know the value that these conversations bring into our community. So thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It is an honor to be featured. So I am so excited to do more. Like, I can't wait to continue our little sessions.
We are too. Where can people find you? On the gram?
Yeah, Instagram. My handle is @katie.vsg. It's katie.vsg. That is my Instagram. I am there often. I also started a TikTok. So I'm starting to post more there, and it is the same exact username. So @katie.vsg.
Boom, TikTok. Oh my gosh. Jason introduced me to TikTok a couple months ago. it is the rabbit hole that everybody says it is. Like, all of a sudden I can be like, I'm just going to see what's going on. And 2 hours later, I'm like, oh my God.
Until you look up and see the clock and you're like, where the hell did 2 hours go?
Oh my God. And I finally realized, dude, TikTok knows that people just do this like scrolling. And all of a sudden I came across a video, and it was a TikTok like video. And it was like, hey, you've been scrolling for a long time. And I was like, what? I'm sorry, what? And then, oh my God, 2 hours later, I was like,
well, should I have
that? Oh, this is. They call you out. And thank God they do. Otherwise, you would just like, you would spend weeks in the TikTok hole. Oh my God. Yep. Yes. Yep. So if you guys do not follow Katie, absolutely take the time to do so. You will be inspired. You will feel connected. You will get nuggets of information along the way that you didn't even know you needed until you picked up those nuggets from her feed. So definitely give her a follow there. You can follow us at East2West_WLS on Instagram and also on TikTok. We have a fabulous YouTube channel. We are adorable humans. We're very animated when we talk. We highly recommend that you check us out there. And if you guys like the support, if you find value and meaning from what we're doing, we encourage you to become a patron of East to West. You can support us in a different way and literally help keep the lights on, so to speak. Your monthly patronage helps us make sure that we can continue this support and keep as much of it free and accessible for everybody in our community as possible. So if you're interested in becoming a patron for $5 a month, we offer some pretty amazing ways that we say thank you. You'll get invited to AMAs, to special patron-only events. You'll get early access to some of our podcasts. The hits keep coming. So if you are interested, you can, like I said, direct message us or visit us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/East2WestWLS and you can find out all of the goodies there as well. Okay, I think I did it. Did I miss anything, my friend?
I don't think so. We just appreciate all of the followers, everybody that's helped us with the support that you guys have already given us. It is invaluable. We can't thank you enough. Katie, we appreciate you being here and always being a friend of the show and everything that we do. You're always there to help and cheer and support us, and we appreciate that. Please give us any reviews, like, share, follow on any of your podcast players that you can, on YouTube reviews as well. Those just help us, you know, get the word out to even more people that we can possibly give support to, and that's what we're here for. Your support to us helps us continue to support you guys, and it helps April and I in our everyday journey, because we're on the journey with you guys, and the support we get from you guys helps us daily. So thank you again for that. And don't forget, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, Katie. See you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye.